are, bro.
Amen. Cranking a Bible talk. You know, some of us, there's a lot of things we'd like to crank. You know, you want to just crank your hair before you come out to the Bible Talk Leaders meeting. Maybe you want to crank your basketball game a little bit more. Maybe you want to crank your grades at school. Maybe you want to just crank your relationship with another brother or another sister and start dating. Or maybe you want to crank your dating relationship and take it to the next level. And of course, I know if you're married, you want to crank your marriage, amen? I already know that. But really it comes down to who wants to crank a Bible talk? Because, you know, when you think about what's going to change this world, it comes at the level of a Bible talk right there. I think you look out at the things that have shaped the world even this past year. You see Osama bin Laden finally taken down and killed.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, I mean, some people debate, well, was it good to take another life in revenge for other lives being taken? But what really came down and what got the job done was a small team of people that actually did it. Regardless of whether that was right or not, the people that accomplished that was not a huge army going in.
Yeah.
But it was SEAL Team 6.
Oh, come on.
It was a small team of about 12 people who came in and were able to accomplish what millions had tried to do. But it was only a few people. And then you take even the small corporations that are around and they say, you know, it's not about having a big company. If I can get just 6 people who know their job, who are fired up about what they're a part of, and if they work with all their hearts, then that's all you need to build a multi-million dollar company. And so now, as in our economy, you see rising these small groups of companies, really only ran by just a few people, but becoming multi-million dollar companies. Because it's not about the numbers that matter. It's about the small nucleus of sold out disciples that will change wherever they're at. Amen? I think you even go all the way to Stalin. And he has a quote he's famous for saying. Stalin, of course, the man who was all for communism. And he wanted to take communism around the world.
Yep.
And in the 50s, America was terrified because of the discipline and the hard work ethic that the communists had. I mean, even if you ever watch Rocky, you see the difference. You see fun-loving Rocky, and then you see those hardcore Russians in the lab just trying to get down to business.
Come on.
But of course, the fear was that Lenin said, and Stalin also said, if you give me just a group of 12 men who are willing to give up their lives for me, I'll change the entire world.
Wow.
And you see communism growing and growing and growing. An idea that nobody had even espoused before that, taking over the entire world, it
that's
seemed
right,
like.
That's right.
And then you go all the way back 2,000 years ago to a small town in Galilee with Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee. And he goes and he calls Peter and he calls Simon and he calls Andrew and he calls his 12 apostles and he says, you give me 12 men and I will change the world. And today, 2,000 years later, the Bible rings true exactly like it did 2,000 years ago. You give 12 people, 6 people, a Bible talk that's fully committed, willing to risk their lives for the group, and you will change Chicago. You'll change the Midwest. You'll change the entire world. And we got to think, is that my heart for what God's given me in my Bible talk? Do I see it as something, not just a meeting that I'm supposed to have, but the group that's going to change my campus? The group that's going to change my city? The group that's my future hope for my family? As Peggy saw when her mom and dad finally came out to Bible talk. The hope for the ones you love most. Like when Jasmine and Cordero both became disciples. And thinking, this is a hope for the world. This is a hope for people's sons, people's brothers, people's moms and dads. It is the Bible talk. But are you willing to crank a Bible talk? Because if it doesn't happen at the Bible talk level, let's face it, it will not happen. It's all about, is the Bible talk cranking or is the Bible talk tanking? I think there's a few things that we got to look at. And it's the key aspects of what a Bible talk should look like. Let's go to Matthew 22.
I like it.
Matthew chapter 22. How many have gone to a banquet or a reception?
Yours.
Do you like going to those?
Yeah.
Let's pick it up in verse 1. Jesus likes them too. He even preaches about them. He says in verse 1, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, another to his business. The rest seized the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out in the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. And we'll stop right there. I think, you know, when it comes down to a wedding banquet, you think, man, that's something awesome. I mean, I can remember the wedding banquet for Brittany and I. Now, it wasn't a huge banquet because everybody else went out to eat. But you came back and we tried to get the best chocolate cake we could find and the best punch we could find. And we had a cranking banquet. And you're just like, man, everybody, come on out. We want to have as many as we can. And as we left, we saw, man, not even all the cakes were finished. More people could have come. And then you just think, man, think about the Golden Corral. Chris Wooden knows what I'm talking about. Chris Wooden walking in the Golden Corral is like Peter walking into heaven. I mean, you go in the Golden Corral, they have steak. You can take a plate of shrimp and have somebody cook it for you. They'll cook it and then you can come back as many times as you want. You can have as much shrimp as you like. That's pretty close to heaven for some of us here. No talking about it. But even beyond that, you walk along and as you're going to your table, you hear this like rainfall.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is that? And it sounds like rushing water.
What is it?
And you're fired up and everybody else has this kind of glow and, you know, just ecstatic joy about them. And
what is it?
And as you look to the left, you see the chocolate wonderfall. And it's about 4 feet of just chocolate just flowing. I mean, when you watch, it's almost like you're close. Maybe Willy Wonka's chocolate factory is right around the corner. And of course, it was so awesome, we had to come up with a nickname for one of the brothers, Anthony Felsen. He became the Chocolate Wonderful, you know? Because, I mean, the awesomeness was almost equal right there, you know? But you go to the Golden Corral, and that's the only place Chris wouldn't want to go for his birthday. He says, I'm going to the Golden Corral. I don't care if it's all the way in Joliet. I'm going to the Golden Corral. And so we said, amen, if that's where Chris wants to go, that's where we're going to go for his birthday too. So about 20 of us all drove all the way down, it seemed like 5 hours down to Joliet, so we could eat at the Golden Corral with Chris Wooden. And it was awesome. It was an awesome reception. And we were fired up. You got that feeling of just being fired up?
Yeah.
But see, Jesus says that's exactly what the kingdom of God is like. That awesome, incredible, ecstatic joy is God's kingdom. Because here is where you come and it's not just chocolates and shrimp.
Come on. Tell us.
It's people's lives being changed from the inside out.
Right.
I mean, just think of the selfishness you were in before you became a disciple.
Yeah.
Think of how that would wreck your future marriage or your relationships as they are. You know, even people who are on the brink of divorce were finally rescued by the kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Anything, man, way more than a good meal. This has saved my life.
Yeah.
The kingdom has.
Wow. Yeah.
And so Jesus says, you know, I want to get people out and call them into the wedding banquet. Invite them out. And imagine if you're going to go invite people out to the wedding banquet. How are you going to feel? Fired up, right?
Yeah.
You're going to go out and you're going to say, listen, it's free. Golden Corral is free. But it's a spiritual version of Golden Corral. And you even got the chocolate Wonderfall still in it. And you're thinking, man, this is incredible. We have what everybody wants in the world right here. And so the question is number one, when you're inviting people out, when you're thinking about your Bible talk, do you think of it like this?
Wow.
Is it a banquet you're inviting people to? When you think, man, this is the hope for the whole entire world.
Yeah.
But do I have that attitude when I'm talking to the people who I'm inviting?
Wow.
And understand it, man, if you don't have that attitude, you don't know what the kingdom of God is really like.
Wow.
You've lost your sense of understanding.
Come on.
I mean, if you want to know what it's like, go talk to a teenager who's a disciple and say, hey, what is the kingdom of God to you? And they're going to tell you, listen, this is the hope for the entire world.
Yeah.
They're going to say, there's nothing like this. God's Spirit is in the room. And then you think, man, a teenager gets it. Why have I lost it?
Wow.
Why have I forgotten what the kingdom is? And thinking, you know you've lost it when you invite people not out of an excitement, but out of obligation.
Wow.
Lay it out, bro.
When you go out to share your faith, but you're sharing your faith not because you know it's an incredible banquet, but because I'm supposed to do this if I want to go to heaven.
Wow.
And see, nobody's going to come to the banquet when you invite them that way.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about something you're fired up about. You know, I remember this movie called No Country for Old Men.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
The brothers have seen it. It's a brutal, gross, disgusting movie. It's a guy movie. And I was so fired up about the movie. And so everybody I came in contact with was like, listen, this movie is amazing. Listen, there's nothing like it. And I saw it not once, not twice, not three times in the theaters. I saw it four times in the theaters because it's so good. And I would take everybody. I'd say, listen, you got to come with me and go watch this movie. It's awesome. And I'd take somebody else. Hey, you got to go watch this movie. It's awesome. And I had four visitors out to No Country for Old Men. Why? Because I knew it was awesome. And a lot of those people went away saying, that was not awesome. But I didn't care because I knew this was the most awesome movie out. And I wanted people to see it.
Come on, bro.
See, if we don't believe that what we're a part of is the most awesome thing, and we've lost sight of it, we're not going to bring people out to it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so here, the first part of cranking a Bible talk is you got to ask yourself, do I really see what this Bible talk's all about?
Right.
And see, man, this is the hope.
Yeah.
For the people who are about to give in to some of the most damaging sins of their entire life, this is a hope for them on campus. For people who are going to build up different abuses towards substances that are going to wreck their family.
Yep.
And even kill them possibly. This is the hope.
Come on.
For people who are going to give into impurity and morality and even give in and have an abortion.
Yep.
This is the hope to keep them from causing something that happened that they'll regret for the rest of their life and keeping it far away from them.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
And saying, man, when I get on campus, I am the hope because I'm a part of the Bible talk here at Triton.
Come on.
Or at Harold Washington. Or at UIC. Or Columbia. Or the different marriage ones. COD.
Yeah.
Joliet.
Come on.
Even the South Loop. Amen.
There it is.
and thinking, even if I didn't mention your Bible talk, that is the hope. That is the hope for the singles of downtown, if you're in the singles Bible talk with Cornell and Kevin. But really think it, man. Have you lost? Have you forgotten it?
Come on, bro.
And if you have, then why have you forgotten it?
Wow.
Why have you lost that hope? You got to think, man, maybe I've forgotten what I was before and what this Bible talk did for my life. Maybe you've stopped having deep, awesome, quiet times with God every morning. And so now you just start thinking, well, this is just what we all do because this is our culture. But just really see it, man. This is amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's the golden corral of the kingdom.
Come on, Mike.
And I think, you know, when you go out and you invite somebody, you got to say, okay, am I doing this to crank the Bible talk because I know this is the best reception going on anywhere? Or is it just, well, I hope it works out?
Yeah.
I mean, if I come to you and I say, hey, how you doing? I don't know if you're doing anything Tuesday, but I just want to invite you out to our Bible talk. We meet every Tuesday, 12:30. It's really awesome. I mean, I really, if you're free, would you like to come out? What do you think?
No.
You know, you'd be like, no, no, you don't really like it. I don't think, if you don't like it and you just said Bible, then I'm not coming out. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
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 But if I say, hey, how's it going?
Hey.
No, I'm not going to do that. But if I come in and I say, hey, listen, what are you doing at 2 o'clock today? Listen, I want to invite you out to the most awesome thing going on here on campus. It's a Bible talk. And it changed my life. It's going to change your life too.
Come on.
And you got to have that. You got to have that conviction.
Yeah.
I'll never forget two Mormons coming over to our house because my little brother set up a Bible study with these guys. And it was two guys, 20 years old. One was Elder John, and the other one was Elder Wynn. And it was a white guy and an Asian guy. And the Asian guy, they're both elders. They're both 20 years old. And one's a white guy and one's this Asian guy just got here from China.
Wow. Come on.
Come on, Dave.
And through the middle of it, he just stops. He says, listen, I want to know something. What church should I go to? And I said, I think we got to study the Bible. He said, no. See, that's why I don't go to your church, because you don't even know if it's the right one to go to.
Wow.
See, when I came to the Mormon church, they said, this is the right church. You found it. I know this is the right church, and you got to come too. And they said, that's how I knew, because if the person who invited me knew it was right, then I know it must be right. Now, of course, we don't just say, I know it's right, but we say, listen, I know it's right, and I'll show you in the Bible why it's right.
Yeah.
And by showing that, people got to see, man, I know that this is where you got to go. This is the most awesome place to be.
Come on.
And so you got to think, is that my attitude? When I'm out there sharing, when I'm out there doing the Bible studies, do I have that heart with my Bible talk?
Right.
See, because we've forgotten if we don't have that heart. We've forgotten what it's done. And we've even forgotten the fact that Jesus changed the world with this 12 apostles.
Yeah.
Committing his life to those guys, they changed the entire world.
Wow.
So when you're there with your group, you're thinking, this is awesome. This is my Bible talk. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11.
Come on, bro. I like it. Come on.
Keep it coming, bro. It's awesome.
The second point of cranking a Bible talk is you got to have some faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
It says in verse 1, Hebrews 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. See, I think stop right there. First, you see, what is faith? It's being sure of what you hope for and certain of what we do not see. See, I think right here, faith is a thing that America says, and even culture, and anybody who's not a Christian says, listen, it's the thing you don't want to have. Because when you're hoping so much for something, and you get let down, what happens? You get hurt so bad. And before I got restored, I was a bartender of the world. And as a bartender, you have people who have lost all faith in the world come to drink their problems away. And, you know, you see, there was one guy, he would come in, his name was Tom, and every single day he'd come in around 1 o'clock. And he had kids, but there was a lot of different problems, and so he would drink basically a whole bottle of wine every single day. And walk out normal. You would never even know he drank a bottle of wine.
Wow.
And you're thinking, man, the world is hurting. There was one young woman who came in, beautiful Latin woman. And her name was Luli. And she would come in and she would just sit at the bar and she would just flirt with other guys coming in. And, you know, as the bartender, you're supposed to talk to people, so you get talking. And finally she started talking about her secret to being happy. And her secret, she said, was, you know what? I just decided that I would stop having hope for anything.
Wow.
I just don't expect anything to happen. And if it happens, great. If it doesn't happen, at least I didn't expect it to.
Wow.
And so because she's been so hurt by her past, she decided to stop having faith.
Yeah.
To stop trusting.
Yeah.
And to just say, well, if it happens, that's great, but I'm not going to hope anymore for anything in the future.
Come on.
And so what happens? She lost her faith.
Wow.
I think for us, you know, you think through this past year.
Yeah.
And you think through the people you studied the Bible with that you gave all your heart to.
Yeah. Come on.
And they stopped calling.
Yeah.
The people who you care for with everything. And then in the end, they just say, you know what? I'm going to go my own way. This isn't for me.
Yeah.
When you were so hopeful. Man, I can't wait to see this guy get baptized.
Come on.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And you see it. You got it in your mind.
Yeah.
And you know, man, this guy's going down. And you go out on a prayer walk or whatever you do and you just talk. And the guy's like, man, I can't wait for my baptism.
Yeah.
And then the next day he's saying, you know what? I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
And you gave all your heart. You gave everything to the guy or the girl. And then there's no more.
Yeah.
And then you go on and you just think, well, do I do it again? Or maybe I should just stop hoping so that I don't get hurt again.
Right.
Wow. Come on, Mike.
And so the people walk by, but you stop believing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've lost your faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not sure of what you hope for.
Yeah.
You said, you know what, the things I hope for, I'm not even going to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
The things that I don't see that the Bible promises, I'm going to say, It's not true. It can't. Unless God shows it to me, then I'll believe.
Come on.
And when we have that heart, you don't have faith.
Yeah.
And so you think, man, I just got to get my faith back. See, that's what the ancients were commended for.
That's right.
When you think about Abraham, God says, leave the place that your family's from. And go to the land I'm going to send you.
Yeah.
And he goes. And God says, I'm going to bless you with more descendants than the stars in the sky.
Yeah.
And he says, but I don't have any kids.
Mm.
And I'm 75 years old. But he was sure of what he hoped for.
Yeah.
And now the whole world is blessed through Abraham's faith. See, I think for us, we got to say, who am I like? Am I a child of Abraham?
Wow. Come on, Mike.
Of faith?
Come on.
See, because if you read through Romans like we did this past year, you know, to be a child of Abraham means you just have to have faith in God.
Yeah, that's right.
And believe that what God says will happen.
Yeah.
And so now, you should think, you know what? Man, I have no idea, God, how you're going to change this person. But I'm not going to stop believing in it. I'm going to believe it's going to happen. And even if they say no, I'm going to keep believing because maybe that next person's going to be the one.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's easy because it's not.
Yeah.
Are you guys with me on that?
Yeah.
It's a battle.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of us just stop sharing, because we're all fired up for that one person and it doesn't work out. Or the one person falls away and then you say, why even worry and do it? But we got to think, man, I'm going to never give up.
That's right.
And have faith.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Reading on here.
Come on, bro.
Great stuff.
It says, verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. How about it, guys?
Amen.
Do you have the faith of Enoch? Or do you understand, man, I've been hurt, I'm not going to try anymore.
Wow.
See, God says, listen, you believe, and I'm going to work for you. But when we lose that faith, then you are not pleasing God anymore.
Yeah.
I think for the woman, Luli, that I talked about before, sadly what had happened is because she stopped hoping, she had to numb the pain away.
Wow.
Because, let's face it, there's a pain when you stop hoping in the world.
Yeah.
And hoping in your dreams. And God designed us to have His dreams and then to see them come true.
Yep.
Yeah.
But when those dreams, when we lose our dreams, then we got to find a way to help that pain out.
Yeah.
And what Luli had started doing was drinking and partying every night and sleeping with whoever she could find who would go to her home that she in some way felt some kind of connection.
Come on.
She went to immorality and addiction to alcohol. See, I think for us, we got to understand it's not just a little thing when you lose your faith.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
It's not that you can lose your faith, but you'll still make it to heaven.
No.
Wow. Yeah.
See, when we lose our faith, we start going to the world to heal the pain that has come from our broken hopes and dreams. And so here it's a very important thing. To crank a Bible talk, you got to have faith. To make it to heaven, you got to have faith. And to think, am I faithful? Or have I been so hurt that I've decided to give up on what I hope for? And now I no longer have faith anymore. I think by thinking through that, guys, man, God will do the impossible.
Yeah.
He'll do things that you couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
If we just have faith.
Come on.
And say, okay, pick out what you want for God. Amen. Not the Ferrari. Pick out the dream that God has that you want, that same dream. And say, okay, God, this is my dream. I know it's your dream too. And I'm going to have faith that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
And give it all your heart. That's the only way that God will finally give you your dreams.
Yep.
Is to say, here's my dream. And God, I trust that if we both go at it, united, that it'll happen. And by doing that, God will bring the impossible to fruition. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 20.
Come on,
brother. I think doubling back on the point where we got to see to believe. I mean, I remember talking to one person. They said, you know what? I just share and then I don't even have faith, but I just share and I know God's going to do something by me just obeying.
Yeah.
And amen. Sooner or later, maybe. 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 By God being merciful on that kind of heart, He'll maybe do something. But the idea, I need to see it to believe it, Jesus addresses to one of the disciples, Thomas. Let's pick it up in John chapter 20, verse 19. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Now this is intense because the doors are locked and then boom, Jesus appears. Like, this guy is awesome. He is the most interesting man right here. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. Why? Because there are the holes in his hand. There is the hole in his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone who sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe."
Wow.
I think you see a few things. Number one, Thomas lost his faith. And you see something very interesting. The 11 were meeting together. Yeah. Thomas wasn't there.
Yeah.
I think when we lose our faith, we lose our commitment to the body.
Come on, bro.
Wow.
We lose our commitment to being with the disciples.
Wow.
And we start thinking, no, there's something else out there that's more important.
Wow.
And you miss the miracles of God.
Yep.
I mean, even today, we have people walking in late to the Bible Talk Leaders meeting.
Come on.
Yeah. Is your commitment for the world, or is it for God's kingdom? Bible Talk. Are you consistently there? See, if you're going to crank a Bible Talk, you got to be at Bible Talk.
Come on.
And some people aren't even at Bible Talk. Even in this room. See, it's not going to crank when that's the thing. You got to say, have you lost your faith?
Yep.
Like Thomas, and you're not even with the disciples.
Wow.
See, Thomas says, "Listen, unless I see the holes in his hands, I will not believe."
Wow.
And Thomas didn't believe.
Wow.
He had no faith. And he wasn't committed to the body.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly enough, the disciples' faith kind of pulled Thomas through.
Yeah.
Because it says, verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again. And Thomas was with them.
Amen.
So the doors were locked. Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now you know by this time, Thomas is trembling in his boots.
Yeah.
Or sandals. And he sees Jesus in the room. And he knows. And he's convicted.
Yeah.
And his heart's broken. And then Jesus looks over and sees Thomas, the doubting disciple. And it says, then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe."
Awesome,
Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Come on.
See, Jesus comes and he walks up to Thomas and he just says, "Okay, Thomas, put your hand right here, Thomas.
Come on.
Put your hand here."
Wow.
And you know Thomas didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, all the 11 apostles are around him. And Jesus just says, "Okay, Thomas, do it."
Wow.
And then he does. And then Jesus says, "Okay, Thomas, put your hand here."
Wow.
Come on.
And he just slowly reaches out, probably head down. And touches him.
Wow.
And he gets the point. And Jesus just says, "Stop doubting."
Come on.
Stop doubting.
Yeah.
Stop.
Come on.
Come on.
And believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he says, listen, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. See, with the Bible talk, if you want to crank it, we got to be the ones who have not seen, yet we believe.
Come on.
Stop doubting.
Come on.
Is the words Jesus is saying to you.
Right.
Don't go on campus wondering if it's possible. Go on campus knowing we will change it. Go to your work going, I am here to change this place. And I'll change my apartment building too. And no, stop doubting. Imagine what your life would be like if you weren't doubting. If you just didn't doubt. If it wasn't, oh, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they're going to say yes. And just believe.
Yeah.
We're going to change this place.
Wow. Come on.
That's how a Bible talk cranks.
Amen.
Yeah. Real quick, let's go to Mark 6.
Come on,
Mark.
Come on, Mark. Keep it coming, bro.
Come on, Mark.
Mark 6, chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
It just says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked, what's this wisdom that has been given him that even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brother James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him.
Wow.
Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house, is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith.
Wow.
Jesus comes to a city. Guess what's not in the city? There's no faith.
Yes.
And so what does Jesus do in the faith? Barely anything. We look at our Bible talks and we say, man, nothing's happening in my Bible talk. Jesus isn't working. Well, it's not Jesus' problem. It's the faith of the people around them.
Yep.
If there's no miracles in your Bible talk, then you can be absolutely sure there's no faith in your Bible talk.
Yep. Yep.
And if there's no faith in your Bible talk, then you can be absolutely sure there will be no miracles in your Bible talk.
Yep.
And thinking, do I believe or do I doubt? Let's go to Romans 14.
Come on.
Romans chapter 14. And it's just a little add-on that Paul throws here. Verse 23. It says, the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats. Because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. So here the Bible says, if you don't have faith, you're just flat in sin.
That's right.
It's not that, you know, you got to grow. I mean, imagine you're studying with some guy. The guy is a hitman. And he kills people. They're out there in Chicago. And you say, when was the last time you killed somebody? 2 days ago? What about before that? About a week before that? Okay. Well, you're going to have to grow in this. I mean, 2 people in 2 weeks, we're going to need to cut this down. And we're going to make it our goal for this next month that you don't kill more than 2 people. How do you feel about that? Let's just, we were doing 4 to 6 the last month. We want to hit 2. That's going to be our goal. We're going for 2 people this month. Do you think you can do that? Guy says, yeah, I can do that. That's good. We got to grow in this. Amen? No, that's absurd. Then you stop it. You stop killing people. That's not happening anymore. Why? Because it's a sin. And when it's a sin, you never do it again.
Come on.
See, faith is a sin. And a lot of times we think, oh man, I was really faithless last month. Maybe I'll have a little bit more faith. Maybe I'll grow a little bit more. It's a sin. You don't grow a little more in sin. You got to say, no, I got to have faith, bottom line. So when you're feeling faithless, guess what you got to do? Deny yourself, repent, and get faith. If you're sinning, wherever you're at, and you're saying, I just don't know, you say, you know what? That's a sin. Saying I don't know, doubting, that's a sin, that's like Thomas, I'm not going to be like that, I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe that's going to happen, I'm going to have faith that it's going to happen, because if I don't, I'm in sin. And God will not be pleased, and everything that I do will be flat out sin, because it's not coming out of faith. And thinking, man, I got to have faith. Do you understand it? Or do you just not even have faith that you can have faith? To say, well, I can't do that. That's impossible. See, you've already beaten yourself. You just got to say, no, I fly out, I got to have some faith. And it'll be awesome. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go a few questions right here. We're going to hit some practicals.
Come on.
I think important skills for being in a Bible talk, being a Bible talk leader especially. Number one, imitation. Do you imitate? That's one of the number one skills.
That's right.
Yep. You think through all the different people who have raised to become something awesome, they all imitated great men before them. Yeah. But a lot of times we want to become a Bible talk leader, but we don't imitate anybody. Yeah. So you're probably not going to get that great. You got to find somebody, say, this guy is successful, what can I do to copy that guy?
Yep.
And be just like him. There's no plagiarizing in the kingdom, guys. You're not going to get an F for plagiarizing.
Amen.
You can do exactly what somebody else does, and God will give you an A and say, that's awesome. He might even give you an A plus because you're being humble. Amen?
Amen.
The second one is daily ministry. You got to have a ministry that's not just Tuesdays, not just Thursdays, but a ministry that's every single day. You're preaching the word. You're sharing the faith, your faith, every single day. I think you got to say, okay, what's my motivation? Well, your motivation has to be Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
You said that when you got baptized.
Yeah.
And saying Jesus is Lord, a lot of times we say, what's your good confession? Jesus is Lord. Okay, now you can get baptized. Jesus is Lord is not abracadabra.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, poof, now you're a disciple.
Yeah.
It's not this little magic phrase you say and now you're going to heaven.
No.
Jesus is Lord is a lifestyle you live every day.
Yeah.
Say, man, that's my motivation. Jesus is the Lord of my life. And John... 1 John 2:6, it says, whoever claims to be in Him must walk as Jesus walked. So if we all claim to be disciples, amen, guess what we got to do as crank and Bible talk leaders?
Yeah.
Walk like Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
I think, thinking, okay, what do you got to do if your Bible talk's tanking? You start cranking. There you go. The Bible talk leader has to be the one who's leading the way.
Yeah.
The Bible talk leader has to come in and he has to have the visitor. He can't be angry at everybody else for not having visitors, but there's nobody with him. He has to be the guy leading the way. So if the Bible talk's not going great, you have to say, are you leading it the way you should be?
Come on.
I think just thinking, do I have a visitor? That's all you got to ask yourself. Am I inspiring this Bible talk by my personal example? I think you got to say, okay, what does an awesome Bible talk look like? You look around, does it look like sharp, athletic people, you know, is that what an awesome Bible talk looks like? Like Columbia, you know? Let's go to Mark 3 real quick and we'll look here. We'll look at Jesus' little Bible talk. A lot of sharp, athletic Colombians in Jesus' Bible talk. It says in verse 31, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him and they told him, your mother and brother are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him, his Bible talk, and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. See, what does an awesome Bible talk look like? It looks like a family.
Yeah.
It's a family.
Yeah.
Jesus says, he looks in his circle and says, this is my family.
Yeah.
My Bible talk.
Wow.
And I think, thinking about our Bible talk, man, is it a family?
Come on.
I mean, do you lean on each other when you're going through a hard time? Do you ask each other for help? Do you hang out outside of Bible talk? Is it a family? I think, you know, the Bible talk needs to be a family, but also, just like SEAL Team 6, it needs to be this crazy little Delta Force, awesome combat, military, little reconnaissance team that can go in and just destroy anything in its way.
Come on.
So it's an army, but then it's a family. Amen?
Amen.
I think also thinking the fact that what to expect. You know, I think with the Bible talk, Matthew 22, it just talks about 37 to 39, talks about how you got the greatest command, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen?
Yep.
And we're all fired up about that, right?
Yeah.
But then the second one, which is like it, is love your neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
A lot of times we get selfish. We think it's all about God, but we stop loving people as ourselves. We stop saying, man, I gotta care for this bro. I gotta love him as myself. Man, I would want somebody to help me out. I need to help that brother out. I need to help that sister out like that. Amen?
Amen.
I think you got to say, okay, well, how do you build family and unity? 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says, we shared our lives with you as well.
Wow.
And I think that's how, as a church, we just got to share our lives with each other. Just say, man, come on into my life.
Yep.
You know, come see my house. I appreciate the Dawsons and what they do, bringing people down to their house. The Woodens, and now they bring people over there. Roger and Kama, who are famous for the things that they do, bringing people to their house. And I think, even, you know, half of us are young people here, are we bringing people in our homes and do the same thing?
Come on.
Yeah. Say, man, I can bring people over. I can do that. And I think we got to also be thinking, are we sharing our lives?
Yeah.
Not just sharing, you know, superficial stuff, but getting deep. Amen?
Yeah.
I think, really in the end, I think a little thing is really practical. How do you determine somebody's open?
Great question.
This is a big one. Because a lot of times we're sitting there doing like 20,000 studies with a guy, and the guy's just flat not open. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think going to Luke 13, and you can reference it, and it just talks about how there's an urgency when they receive the message.
Come on.
I think asking, okay, are people urgent? Do they have a heart for the cross when they hear it? That's how you know somebody's open, when they get the cross.
Yep.
Are they making every effort to be a part of it? You need to expect the people you're studying the Bible with to make every effort to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And if not, you need to disciple them until they have that heart. Amen?
Yeah.
Don't just say, well, he's not making every effort, so hopefully he'll get it. You got to say, bro, you are not seeking God with all your heart like we did in our first study. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just lay it out. Just say, okay, you already got all the ammunition. You got the machine gun ready to go after you do Seek of God.
Yeah.
This guy should be making every effort.
Yeah,
right.
So just grab your grenade and just throw it straight into the guy's face. And just say, dude, you're not seeking God with all your heart. You're not making every effort. And disciple them, and hopefully they'll get it. Amen?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to decide, okay, am I working with a crock pot kind of personality here or the microwave? You know what I mean? Crock-pot takes about 5 hours, you know? Microwave takes about 5 seconds. So you're thinking, okay, which one, 5 seconds for the brothers, you know? Sisters know how to use it a little longer. But you got the crock-pot kind of disciple, future disciple, who this guy may take a while.
Yeah.
And then you got the guy who's just flat open and eager. You got to push until they push back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Say, hey, let's get together tomorrow. Okay, let's get together next day. It's like, well, you know, this is hard. Say, okay, well, when can we get together? If they say, well, let's do it next week, then you got to disciple them on out. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I think really even going through the study, sometimes it's good to test people in the studies. You know?
Yeah.
Like you're saying, so you seek the kingdom second, right? You know? And they're like, yep, uh-huh, definitely.
Oh.
Like, dude, are you listening to what we're talking about? Are you here with me right now? I think in the end we got to really test people and see where they're at. Amen?
Yeah.
I think in the end, let's go to 1 Timothy 1.
Come on, bro.
What's up, Mike?
1 Timothy 1:15. Paul gets super deep right here.
Yeah.
He says, here's a trustworthy saying. thing that deserves full acceptance. This is going to be powerful. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Wow.
And then he kind of adds on, oh, and by the way, I'm the worst one. So he says something super deep. He says, listen, Timothy, I'm going to give you a revelation that's going to change your entire life.
Wow.
Why did Jesus come to earth? A, to be able to learn how to be a good carpenter.
No.
B, to make a bunch of friends that are fishermen and tax collectors. C, to give people a lot of cool teachings. D, to save sinners. E, none of the above.
It can't be E.
Which one is it? Did Jesus come just to hang out? Just to enjoy the fellowship of the brothers?
Wow.
Was that why he was here?
No.
Did he come to have a good life? Nope. Jesus came for one reason, and this is the mind-blowing revelation to Timothy from Paul. Jesus came to save sinners. That's why he came on earth. It's not rocket science. When we get down and evangelize in the world, guys, it's not like this crazy plan. It didn't take like Megamind to figure this whole thing out. You know, it wasn't like Pinky and the Brain finally figured out how to take over the world for God. You know, all it is you go make a disciple and teach them what you know. And they do the same thing. And that's how we evangelize the world.
Come on.
And so it's not like crazy rocket science. It's just go make a disciple and teach him to make disciples too. And boom, you're done. You evangelize the world right there. So it's not like the leader of a church is like this huge genius. He's been doing it for a little while longer than you probably. So you're just like, okay, amen. It's not rocket science. Why are we here? To save sinners. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what our life has to be about. We have to think, okay, am I all about saving sinners? Is that what, when I get up, Jesus thought, I'm here to save sinners.
Yep.
You know, do we get up and think, how's this guy doing right now? Let me pray for this guy. I want him to be saved. Man, this guy, he studied for a while, but then he just disappeared. I'm still going to pray for him because I just want him to be saved. Or thinking, oh man, there has to be somebody. Who's God going to put in my path today? Because, man, I just want to save somebody.
Yeah.
That's why I'm alive. See, that's what Jesus thought. And that's the huge revelation from Paul to Timothy. And it is even from the Spirit to you. Jesus came to save sinners.
Yeah.
And if we could just get that every single morning, God would transform our lives and the lives of the people around us too.
Yep.
It all comes back. Solid. He says, you give me 12 guys. If they're radically committed, they're willing to give up their life, I will change the world. And I think to crank a Bible talk, seeing, guys, this thing is like gold. It's like iRobot. You remember the end scene on that?
Yeah.
And it's that crazy, evil, big computer. And then Will Smith just has this little injection needle, you know, with this weird little robotic injection thing. And if he can just get into the robot and just put his hand in there and put the injection through, then it changes everything. And so for us, that's what we are. We're this little injection. And if we can just put it into the monster of Satan's hold on the world and share the news of what God's done for us and how awesome Bible talk is, then God is going to take that little piece of medicine and destroy the monster.
Yeah.
And in the end, the whole world will collapse because nothing can stand against the Word of God.
Yeah.
And if we just hold it unapologetically and preach the Word in faith, and knowing that by doing that and saying, man, this is the greatest banquet, this is the golden corral, spiritually, you can come see the chocolate wonderfall if you're lucky. Then you're going to see something that's going to change your life. And it's going to change the world too. Amen?
Amen?
So with that, guys, let's really be ready to crank a Bible Talk in 2012. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have Jake come on up. Oh, wait, no.